Well, our text this evening is found in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. Mark 1, 40 to 45. Just to remind you, Jesus is in Galilee, and he has reached the height of his public ministry. Mark's given us a snapshot of his ministry by recounting the events of just one Sabbath day in Capernaum, a fishing village that was in Galilee. And we see this beginning at verse 21 of Mark 1 and really going all the way down to verse 34. And Mark records amazing things there, the authority of Jesus in casting out unclean spirits and healing many people. And word begins to get around and spread about Jesus. Well, we left off last time with a summary statement in verse 39. Mark records that he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Now we come to verse 40, and I'll read 40 to 45. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every direction. Before we open this portion of God's word, let's pray another time. Our God, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for its sanctifying power. We thank you for its saving power. We pray, Lord, that you would help us this night. Help us in our weakness. Help us, Lord, in our distraction. We pray that your Holy Spirit would come and illuminate, shine light upon your word and shine light upon our hearts. Help us, Lord, to understand. Help us to receive. Help there to be some here who are cleansed tonight by the blood of Christ. We ask in his name. Amen. Well, one of the best tools in a teacher's toolbox is the visual aid. And a visual aid is exactly what it sounds like. It's something visual, a picture, a movie, a prop, whatever it might be, something visual that is meant to aid the understanding. So it can help make a concept, especially an abstract concept, understandable, easier to understand, to make it plain. It can help a message to get through that might not otherwise get through. In 1987, in this country, there was a massive campaign. It was on TV with television ads and there were posters. It was a massive campaign against drugs. And the name of the campaign was "This Is Your Brain on Drugs." Some of you probably remember that. And "This is your brain," right? It was an egg. And "This is drugs." It's a hot frying pan. And then "This is your brain on drugs." The egg goes into the frying pan, sizzles as it fries. And then the guy asks, "Are there any questions?" That's a visual aid, a powerful visual aid. There's a message, a simple message that they want to get through. And so there's a visual aid that helps get it through. Well, in the text that I've just read, in Mark's account of the cleansing of this leper, we have a visual aid that helps us to understand the gospel. We have a leper who comes to Jesus, and Jesus makes him clean. It's vivid and it's simple, and it helps us to understand the gospel, the message of salvation. Several weeks ago, we considered Jesus as the great physician. We were looking in particular at verses 32 to 34, where all of these people were coming to Jesus to be healed. And we see him there healing many. And I sought to bring out the main general lessons from the healing ministry of Jesus. And those two lessons were about the great misery and need of this world and about the great hope of this world. And we're going to see as we go through Mark many different healing passages like this one, healing of the leper. And in all of these, we're going to see something about the great misery and need of the world and then something about the great hope of the world, Jesus Christ. So the lessons apply here, those same general lessons, but there also are specific lessons from each of the accounts, and each account will add its own layers to the picture. And so we're going to turn now to the cleansing of a leper, verses 40 to 45. And my plan, at least for now, is to do this in two parts. So first tonight, to look at this from the perspective of the leper, and then next time I preach on this, to look at it from the Lord's perspective. And so we're going to look at the account first from the leper's perspective and then consider some vital spiritual lessons. So Mark's account here from the leper's perspective. I want us to take a moment to step into this man's shoes. We might even say into his skin, this leper. Ask the question, what does it mean that he was a leper? And what would it have been like to be a leper in this day? He was a leper. He was afflicted with leprosy. And this affliction, it almost completely defined him. He wasn't so much a man with leprosy as he was a leper. In Old Testament and New Testament times, leprosy referred to a variety of skin disorders. One commentator says that scribes counted as many as 72 different afflictions that were defined as leprosy. Leprosy, then, here cannot be reduced to what we call leprosy today, Hansen's disease. And it's even doubtful that Hansen's disease existed in biblical times. But whatever the case, this leper that comes to Jesus had a very serious skin disease. And there was no hiding this disease. It's possible that it afflicted him from head to toe, covering his entire body. It would have made him ugly. It might even have made him grotesque. Leprosy was a terrible affliction of the body. But what made it so bad was that it wasn't just an affliction of the body. So what would a day in the life of a leper look like? Well, it was a lonely life. It was a lonely life. One preacher puts it this way, that leprosy drove people into a hell of loneliness. Because the leper lived in isolation. It was a permanent quarantine. Physical and social distancing were the norm for a leper. According to Old Testament law, the leper was unclean, ritually, ceremonially unclean. You'll find that in Leviticus 13. Leviticus 13, 45 and 46 reads, "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare. And he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." One person summarizes it this way, that the leper in Jesus' day was separated from home and family and consigned to a living death, apart from all the blessings of common life. So we can understand why this leper was so desperate for healing. How long he had been a leper, we do not know. But if we could ask him or any leper in that time, he would have said long enough. So when this leper hears that Jesus is in town, we might say he breaks his quarantine and he does what no leper was ever to do. Mark says, now a leper came to him. A leper comes to him. And apparently he'd heard the report about Jesus and his amazing authority. This leper is even persuaded that Jesus could do something to help him, that Jesus could heal him and make him clean. He believed without a doubt that Jesus could cure this dreadful disease of his that had sent him into isolation. And that's why he went to Jesus. Mark says that he was imploring Jesus and kneeling down to him. So this man comes humbly and he comes with great urgency to Jesus, begging him. And he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You're able to do it. You have power to make me clean. Mark then tells us that Jesus was moved with compassion. We have here an interesting textual issue. Some manuscripts actually have moved with anger. And as we'll see in a moment, Jesus certainly displays anger here in this text. I think the evidence favors the usual reading. Jesus was moved with compassion. And if the leper had looked up, he must have seen this in our Lord's face. If he had looked up and seen his eyes, he must have seen eyes that were full of pity looking back at him. Mark tells us that Jesus then did something that was quite unexpected. We don't know what reaction this leper expected to get as he comes up to Jesus. He's risking things and coming to him as a leper who is unclean. But he might have expected that Jesus would back away from him like everyone else would. But we see that Jesus didn't back away from this unclean man. In fact, he stretches out his hand and he actually touches this leper. This might have been the first human touch that this leper had had in a while. And no doubt it was the first compassionate touch that this leper had had in a while. And then he heard Jesus say those blessed words to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." We read immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Verse 42. It was dramatic. It was instantaneous healing, miraculous change in this man. Just imagine it. Here's a leper, possibly covered from head to toe with leprosy. And he's healed in an instant. His leprous skin restored like the flesh of a little child. That's a language used of Naaman when he's cleansed of his leprosy. So it's an amazing scene here, if we were there to behold it. Now, after this miraculous healing, Jesus' countenance changed. His face changed. The compassionate look gave way to a stern and even an angry look. Verse 43. Jesus strictly warned him and sent him away at once. Now, to say he strictly warned him, it's probably too tame. Because the word that Mark uses here, the verb, means to be angry at, even to be enraged with. B.B. Warfield suggests this translation, that he raged against him and sent him away. So Jesus is angry, and we aren't told why. And we'll consider that next time when we think about our Lord's perspective. But the man is sent away with a direct command from Jesus. And it's actually a two-part command. There's a negative and a positive side to this command. Negatively, he says, see that you say nothing to anyone. And then on the positive side, he says, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So it was simple and straightforward, this command. Crystal clear. And the only uncertain phrase, at least to me, is as a testimony to them. As a testimony to who? To whom? Was it the priests? Was it the people? It's probably the priests. But whatever the case, Jesus commanded something that was clear and direct and simple, easy to understand. It wasn't exactly easy to do, but it was easy to understand. Think about it. This leprous man was finally made clean, finally cleansed. He was probably jumping for joy. He was probably shocked and still amazed that he had been cleansed, that Jesus had actually reached out and touched him and said, I'm willing, be cleansed. And he was probably ready to tell everybody about it. And Jesus says to him without any explanation, don't do that. Don't do that. And then the positive part of the command wasn't easy to do either. Those things which Moses commanded were rather involved. You find them in Leviticus 14. In Leviticus 14, we find the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. And you can turn there if you like. I'm not going to read it. But if you turn there, you'll be able to see that it's quite lengthy and involved. And I was going to try to summarize it, but I decided I wouldn't even do that. It's a lengthy procedure. It's a two-stage ritual lasting 8 days. And to start, the leper would have to go to the priest. And this wasn't just the priest down the road, because he had to offer up sacrifices. And where did sacrifices have to be offered? In the temple. So he had to go to the temple, which was in Jerusalem. So this involved a journey. And then it involved offerings, trespass offering, sin offering, burnt offering, grain offering. It involved birds and shaving and cleaning and all sorts of things. So suffice it to say that obedience to this positive command to show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded would not be a quick and easy matter. Now, what did this man do in response to the clear commands of Jesus? Well, it seems that he ignored them completely. He went his own way and he did his own thing. Maybe he did show himself to the priest. We don't know. Mark actually doesn't say. But he certainly disobeyed the command to say nothing to anyone. So that is something of this account. Briefly, from the perspective of the leper. I want us now to consider three simple but vital spiritual lessons. Three simple but vital spiritual lessons. This account of the cleansing of a leper is full of lessons for us, and I just want to focus on three simple ones. The first lesson is a lesson about sin. Leprosy in the Bible is a vivid picture of sin. It's a visual aid for sin, because sin, like leprosy, makes us unclean. It even makes us ugly. It pollutes our souls and it separates us from a holy God, a God who is of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Notice that the leper does not ask to be healed, but cleansed. According to Old Testament laws, I read earlier, the leper would have been pronounced unclean. The Old Testament laws of cleanness and uncleanness may seem irrelevant to us. We no longer have priests whose duty it once was to distinguish between holy and unholy and between clean and unclean. The Old Testament food laws about clean and unclean foods are no longer binding, and we no longer think in categories of ritual or ceremonial impurity. But the Old Testament laws of cleanness and uncleanness were meant to be instructive. They were meant to tell us something first about God. Above all, they were meant to teach God's people about God's holiness. Here's how one person puts it here. While cleanness and holiness were not identical, cleanness was one important aspect of holiness. The laws of cleanness were indirect aids to remind the ancient Israelite of the purity and holiness of his God. Indirect aids to remind them of God's holiness. God, being absolutely holy, is perfectly pure. Now, all of us are more like this leper than we might think and that we might care to think. Because in the sight of a holy and a pure God, we are all lepers. We're unclean. We are defiled because of our sin, our rebellion against God. Sin has left a guilty stain upon our souls, all of us. There are no exceptions. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Paul writes that in Romans 3:23. All have sinned In the words of the prophet Isaiah, because of sin, we are all like an unclean thing. That's Isaiah 64, 6. And the objection might come, but what about my good deeds? And the response, Isaiah's words, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. Our souls, polluted by sin, need to be cleansed. We all need a thorough washing from our iniquity. We all need a cleansing from our sins. That is our greatest need. We need our sins cleaned. And do you know that tonight? Do you know these things tonight? Do you know your need? This leper knew that he was unclean. He knew his need. He knew he needed to be cleansed. He needed to be purified. And that's why he came to Jesus as he did. That's the first lesson. We have a spiritual lesson, a vital spiritual lesson about sin. But consider now the second vital spiritual lesson. We see in this account not only a lesson about sin, but salvation. It's a beautiful and a simple picture of salvation. We have a picture of the good news that sinners can be made clean. Leprosy in this leper's day was considered practically incurable. In most cases, a leper had little hope of being cured. It was a dreadful disease. And I've got bad news for you. Sin is far, far worse than leprosy. Man has tried to come up with all sorts of remedies for sin. Man has concocted religious remedies, but they cannot cleanse the soul. There's nothing you can do to cleanse your soul from sin, not even one sin. No effort on your part, however great, will ever be great enough, and no price that you could pay, however great, will ever be great enough. But the good news, the gospel, is that somebody, Jesus Christ, has paid a price once, and it is great enough to purify every sinner from all of their sins, every sinner who will come to him. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he offered up himself as a perfectly pure sacrifice for sin, to satisfy God's justice and to make sinners clean in his sight. There is only one fountain open for sin and uncleanness. There is a fountain filled with blood, as we sing, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. If anyone would be clean before a holy God, he must come to Christ. And that's exactly what this leper did. He was unclean, and he believed that Jesus could make him clean. And so he went to Christ for cleansing, and he was made clean. Do you believe that Christ can make you clean? Do you believe that Christ is able to cleanse you from your sins? Perhaps you do. Like this leper, you know that Christ can make you clean. You've heard the gospel. You know he has the power, but you doubt whether he's willing to cleanse you, whether he's willing to save you. Some of you might think, I'm too dirty. I'm too dirty for him to clean me. But look at how Christ stretched out his hand and touched this leper. Think about this. He did not have to stretch out his hand in order to heal this leper, but he did. He reached out and he touched him. And there's a sermon in that one touch, a gospel sermon. To touch a leper would have made a person unclean. You wouldn't have done it. But Jesus, says one commentator, was willing to incur defilement so that the defiled leper might be made clean. Does it sound like the gospel? The sinless Son of God identified with unclean, dirty sinners. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He lived a sinless life. He perfectly fulfilled the law of God, and then he died on the cross, shedding his holy blood to redeem sinners from the curse of the law by himself becoming a curse. So you are not too dirty for the blood of Christ. Now, you might have other reasons for doubting that Christ will save you. Maybe you suspect that you're not one of God's elect. You're not chosen. But hear the good news that Christ proclaimed to this leper. He says to him, "I am willing. I am willing." Christ is able and willing to cleanse every sinner who comes to him. If men are lost, it's not because Christ isn't willing to save them. He invites every sinner to come to himself. We'll sing in a moment here. "Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, full of compassion, joined with power. He is able, he is able, he is able, he is willing. Doubt no more." So will you come to him and receive his cleansing? There is no complex ritual to perform. It's simple. You don't need to show yourself to a priest. You don't need to go on a pilgrimage. You don't need to offer up sacrifices. All those Old Testament sacrifices pointed forward to the one perfect sacrifice. Hebrews 10:12. Christ has offered one sacrifice for sins forever. He offered up himself, a final sacrifice. He's accomplished all that needs to be accomplished for your salvation. And you only need to believe. It's that simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Come to him today and ask him to make you clean. And so we see a lesson here, a vital spiritual lesson about sin, about salvation, but also a third lesson about submission. Submission. Salvation by Christ cannot be separated from submission to Christ. This leper had faith that Jesus could cleanse him. We might even say he had a great faith. He went to Jesus and was cleansed, but at least on this occasion, he did not submit to Jesus. He did go about proclaiming what Christ had done for him. And Christians are called to do that. But for this man at this time, the command was to be silent. Jesus had told him exactly how he wanted him to bear witness at this time. When he said to him in verse 44 again, verse 44, he says, "Say nothing to anyone. Go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them," as a witness. He's saying, go and bear witness, but do it in this way at this time. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely. He began to proclaim what the Lord had done for him. He went out and did his own thing rather than obey the Lord. He did what was right in his own sight. Surely it's right for me to go out at this time. But the Lord had told him what to do. He refused to submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus. And so the vital spiritual lesson here for us is that Christ is not only Savior, but Lord. And many people want Christ as their Savior, but not their Lord. They want to be saved from hell, but they also want to live as they please. They want to be their own Lord. But you cannot have Christ as your Savior only. He is either your Lord and Savior or he's not your Savior. Because true faith, saving faith, involves submission to Christ. Faith and submission are bound together. We see this in Matthew 11, 28 to 29, Jesus' invitation. He says, "Come to me," that is, in faith, "come to me in faith, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." take my yoke upon you. That's the language of submission. Take my yoke upon you in submission and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So faith and submission bound together. So the cleansing of this leper, it's a visual aid for us. It helps us to understand at least these three vital spiritual truths about our sin, about salvation, and about submission to Christ. And the message, I hope, is clear. We're all lepers in the sight of a holy God. We are unclean, polluted by our sin. But Jesus Christ is able and he's willing to cleanse you. Come to him and be cleansed of all your sins. Only his blood can cleanse us. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the simplicity and the power of your gospel. We thank you for these old truths for many of us. Lord, if they're new for anyone, we pray that they would penetrate their heart, that they would come to Christ and be cleansed. Lord, we thank you that Christ is a perfect Savior. We thank you for our great salvation, and we pray that we would rejoice in it. We pray that we would live lives of humble submission to Christ. We thank you, Lord, that this day we can worship him, that we can praise him, remember his work. Lord, we pray you'd stir up in our hearts a greater faith, greater love, and greater commitment to our Savior. We ask in his name. Amen. Let's have a moment to be quiet.